Oh, that doesn't sound good at all.
Oh, we'll have to get into that. So should we just get started? Should we do some serious stuff right away?
Well, we should do our intro.
And then serious stuff?
What? How serious?
Oh well, we God. Just have to acknowledge some seriousness real quick.
All right. He looks really serious.
I am very serious. I'm a very serious man 95% of the time, but I need to be serious for just a minute. And I don't have a lot to offer in the way of social healing or anything, but and we don't usually talk about serious issues on this here podcast, but in light of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and so many others, I would be a complete chicken shit if I didn't say, like, fuck racism, and then separate thought, Black Lives Matter. And I have some dear friends who are cops, and I thank them for doing what they do, but I think they would agree that law enforcement officers are in an elevated position of power and should be held to a higher standard. And hopefully this podcast can give somebody who needs it a chuckle in these dark times. And if anybody knows where I can donate money for riot shields for protesters, please let me know. And Rena, Kate, anything to add to any of that?
No, I definitely agree with those thoughts, and dark times, got to get better.
I agree as well. Yeah.
All right. On with the podcast. Hello, listener, and welcome to your new 30th favorite podcast right behind Monty's Dandruff Treatment Report. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent.
I'm Kate, editor, writer, aspiring oligarch.
And I'm Brent, story writer, booze enthusiast, self-taught surgeon. This is a podcast we should maybe just delete shortly after recording, and where the only limit, Rena, is your imagination.
Today we have a special guest, Rena Mason. Welcome.
Hi.
Besides being a writer, Rena is a lover of history and science-y things, especially if they're dark and have to do with mass extinction events. She's an expert at procrastination and a lover of pugs and other... thanks for that difficult word there. Brachycephalic dog breeds, but does not condone their continued breeding. She's also a retired registered nurse. Welcome, Rena.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Pleasure's all right here. Joy to have you. Oh, but before we get too far, I have to do a quick sponsor read. I'm sorry, Rena. This portion of the podcast is sponsored by Wind whips around the building top, yanking the balloons from your hand. You watch them hurry away, then you notice you're dressed like a clown. Your sleeve is torn. Was someone else up there with you a moment ago? You look down at the alley and see three other clowns laying amongst the trash. The thing that lives in your guts urges you to jump, but you scramble back from the edge, sobbing, "Dear God, what have I done?" The new fragrance from Singe Poubelle de l'Enfer.
Welcome. Always great to have a new sponsor. Yeah,
and I have tried Dear God, What Have I Done? And it does smell like exactly like you would think. It's just breathtaking.
So what's been on your mind this week, Brent?
Well, chariot racing, but you know, I would like to defer to Rena first. Rena, what's been on your mind?
Procrastinating. Not much, really.
A woman after my own heart. I have not gotten anything done in months.
It's been a while.
Before we started recording, I mentioned something about kind of reaching what I thought was a dead end on digging up, you know, facts about your life, Rena. And you know, I saw Reno, and I was like, I could do a deep dive on the history of Reno. But then I just didn't, because it seemed like you were not in Reno. And you mentioned something about the dark history of Reno. And I wonder if you might say a few words about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange. It's mostly on the way to Reno, because when I moved from Vegas to Reno, I drove. And there's this area where when you're first approaching it, there's like nothing there. And then all of a sudden you see all these bunkers, these like mounds in the dirt, and just for miles, and every once in a while you see an army truck, and then all of a sudden you come upon this beautiful pristine blue lake, except it's fenced, It's fenced in and there's no birds. There's no people. There are old metal benches out there that, you know, used to be those pastel colors like blue and pink from the old time Miami days, but they're all rusted. You know, it's like it's got to be the creepiest place ever. And right around there is the only place you can get some gas before you go into Reno. And you stop there for gas and then you realize that's where that clown motel is. That's like famously haunted or whatever. And I couldn't get out of there fast enough. It had to be the creepiest thing. And then you'd see army trucks go into a hillside by that lake. So I don't know what's in that lake, but I think it's something secret and creepy and somebody should sneak in there and take some pictures or, you know, not me. Sort of
back
like an
up
area
where they might keep the aliens, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They use Area 51 as a ploy, but that's really where they keep them.
Holy shit, what if they're clown aliens?
Oh no.
Yeah. Killer clowns from outer space.
You're freaking right. Me out, Rena. So the clown motel is haunted?
Yes. Yeah, there's have you not seen that?
No.
It's like, okay, you'll have to Google it after the show. And it's one of their creepiest haunted places in the middle of nowhere. And it really is like a famous stop where people stop to take their picture in front of this clown motel. And they probably never heard from it ever again after their visit there. It's pretty creepy.
I'll do some homework. That sounds right up my alley. Yeah.
That's Reno's pretty close to Virginia City, which is also
a strange
and interesting place. Like one of the first places ever settled in the West, I believe.
Yes.
And I think some of the original people are still living there. There's like some old weird people in town.
I went to the cemetery there not too long ago. It's called the Silver Legacy Cemetery, but it's really like a cliffside full of terraces, full of headstones. You know, a lot of them are missing because people stole them. And a lot of them were suicides because it's just so, and when you wonder why until you get there and it's like in the middle of nowhere. And here are these people from Ireland, you know, where it's green and there's ocean. And they're like in the middle of like this cliffside with just like desert. And, you know, I can imagine why they got depressed and off themselves. But yeah, a lot of miner deaths because that's where they, you know, were mining originally for the Comstock is in Virginia City. And it was, it's supposed to, that cemetery is supposed to be haunted too. And they do like ghost tours and stuff like that. But yeah, it was definitely really creepy. And the town at one point, I think, had a population of like 30,000. So it was really booming, but then it dropped to like 300.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's my history of Reno, the biggest little city in the world. I think that's the claim to fame. That's the motto, is the biggest little city.
Trying to imagine having that many people, that big of a city, then thousands of them just vanish, and now you've just got this empty place with just a few stragglers milling around and.
Yeah, it's a ghost town. And it really feels like that when you go there. It's still like Old West. People walk around with like six shooters on their waist. You know, it's really like that. They're not just faking it for tourists.
Living in Reno, are you a gambler? Do you enjoy the wagering?
In Reno, no. When I lived in Vegas, I used to like to go because we would go out and there were shows and go out to dinner. And so it was kind of fun. We'd play a little bit, but you know, it's a little bit different where it's a smaller town and all of the casinos are just located mostly in one area downtown. And it's a little bit of a haul from where we live up. We're up in Collin Ranch. It was about 35 minutes away. And for me, that's a long drive. So I don't want to drive that far. And after living in Vegas for 12, 13 years, I was kind of over it. Mm-hmm. You know, you go over where there's slot machines in the grocery store, in the airport. It's just kind of, it gets old after a while.
Yeah. kind of like traffic in LA, I suppose, because I'm over it.
Just now?
No, actually now it's pretty good.
I'm enjoying the driving. I was watching Clueless earlier, which is one of my favorite shows, just for a goof-off show or a movie. And my favorite line is when the dad says, "This is LA. It takes 20 minutes to get anywhere." And I laugh because every time I go there to visit, it takes like more like an hour and 20 minutes.
I know. That was in the 80s. Now it's, yeah. Every time I get into my car, it's 40 minutes.
Well, I got to tell you what I'm sick of. Bears.
Bears?
Bears. Yeah. We had a bear in the yard tonight trying to get at the bird feeder. You get out of here, you bear.
Oh. A big one?
I don't think so, no. It sounded like it was a little one. I'll get out there. I'll chase it off with a rake. Say, hey, God damn it.
Black bears? Just black yeah. bears? Where are you? Where are you, Brent?
Northern Wisconsin. Tomahawk, Wisconsin.
In Reno, we get some bears, black bears, and then a lot of coyotes, rabbits. I was listening to your podcast from last week, talking to Kate. You were talking about your neighbors with the spotlights. I have some of those spotlights that are activated. So when it's windy, they go off all night. I'm sure the neighbors just
you have no idea how much hatred that brings out in a person. No idea.
Well, I find dead mice every now and then that I think the neighbors throw over into our yard. So there's sort of like a love-hate relationship between one side of our neighbors because they have these really barky dogs. So it's sort of an ongoing silent feud. So that's why I put those nice spotlight things that are they're solar. They don't even cost any energy. The quiet battles.
I understand.
You're going to have to.
I have more about our quiet battle later on in the show. Because we are battling now. I hope they don't listen. Do you think my neighbors listen? I don't think they know my name. So that'll be all right.
If they're stalking you, if it's gone too far, then maybe. We have neighbors on the other side of us who their daughter has got a scholarship for rifle. Shooting rifles. So we have like rabbits.
Wait. A scholarship for shooting rifles? That's a
yeah,
thing?
She's like a target shooter. Oh, yeah,
man,
she got a scholarship.
I could have gone to college.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Kids are going to college now for gaming. So that's actually why my younger son is moving to Las Vegas from Reno, is to join their collegiate Overwatch team because they have a stadium for gaming at UNLV.
What?
So, yeah, it's just something every mom should be proud of. You send your kids to college.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's something.
That could have kept my dropout kids interested, I think.
Well, I just think about my grandpa Kelly lost a finger, part of a finger working at the paper mill when he was in his 20s or 30s. These kids these days, they're not going to learn the hard lessons of life.
They can lose their thumbs.
Yeah, but they're not. How are they going to lose their thumb playing a video game, you know?
Oh, he wears these special gloves. He puts that CBD lotion all over his hands. He's tried everything. He's probably going to have like carpal tunnel surgery or something as he gets older because he's pretty arthritic now from gaming. Kind of crazy, but he can't stop.
Yeah, but even typing like hours a day will cripple your fingers. So
yeah,
it's a hard life, Brent. You can't hold it against the kids. They're working hard.
Well, I'm not, you know, I wasn't coming close to saying they weren't working hard. I'm just saying that they need to have some visible disfigurement, lose part of your finger for crying out loud, or, you know, like a big scar going down the side of your face. You can't get that playing video games.
Like hockey players, you know, have missing teeth and, you know, black eyes and stuff.
Their nose is kind of over here on their face. Yeah.
Oh no, Kate said something earlier about that she was going to talk about the Wicker Men.
Anne,
And
would you like me to talk about some Wicker Man? Yeah.
yeah, I want to hear your story about that.
All right. So the thing that has been on my mind this week is that I've been thinking about the Wicker Man. It's I don't know, probably everyone knows what they are. It's from Druid times. Can you hear my dogs?
A little bit.
Oh, I put him in another room, but all right, sorry. So in Druid times, they would build a cage out of sticks, kind of like everyone knows what a Wicker Man is. It's like a really tall puppet made of sticks. But in the olden times, they would put a person inside there before they would set it on fire. Now we're more civilized and we just burn it in effigy. And the Danish are burning those, and they do it on St. John's Eve to get rid of bad stuff in their life. And in Portugal, they have a festival where young men wear this costume with horns and they run around town looking for maidens to fertilize, because I guess in Portugal they're all feminists and stuff. But the highlight of that festival is they burn the big wicker man, the effigy, and then the young people dance in a circle around it, and then the whole town is fertilized, and it's just wonderful.
Can I just take a second to have our listener envision the young people dancing around the Wicker Man, that they all are all twerking, just twerking, just hard.
Hard twerk, yeah.
Hard clap and twerk. Yep. Sorry. Continue.
I can see it. All right. So the reason I was thinking about Wicker Men. Yesterday, I built most of a wall in my yard. I'm not done. I got to finish it up on Sunday.
Don't rush anything.
Don't rush it. Let it stay half built for the next 6 months, like any of my other projects. Partly, I built it because that Santa Ana winds blew a tree over and it took out the wall and
Oh,
almost like the neighbor's roof, but missed it.
yeah.
But it took out the brick wall. So as we went, was it last week I told you about how my neighbors covered all of their dirt area in their yard with cement pavers?
Sounds about
Oh,
right.
yes, I heard
Yeah.
it. I heard that.
And well, this week they put a plate, what are those called? A swing set in there. And I think they've got a trampoline they're ready to set up on cement with 4-year-olds.
You have to sneak over there,
Oh,
get
so
some time in.
right.
You're a nurse, right, Rena? When
Yeah.
a little kid jumps on a trampoline and hits their head on cement, that makes them a serial killer, right? I mean, they have a
Yeah.
good chance that would happen.
I'm
Well,
thinking your neighbors probably have really good life insurance policies on their children because I
perhaps.
can't think of anybody that would put a trampoline or a swing set on cement. That's like the most insane thing I've ever heard. So you
Right.
might be looking out your window one day and just see this kid that's distorted, broken,
Right. Which
like
is why I'm building a
moving around.
wall.
Yeah, good idea.
As tall as I can, because I don't want to see that nasty mess. I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to
Yeah.
hear it. I'm probably going to hear it though.
Yeah, you're going to
But
hear the screams for sure.
I did share with the parents my story or my little fact about how to create a serial killer. So I think I got out of babysitting for all eternity because they give me a blank stare.
What you could do is create your own Burning Man in your backyard in the shape
Right.
of a child size, a kitty shape. Put some dolls inside instead, to take place of the people and set that on. Say, hey, your kids want to come over and roast some marshmallows? It's s'more time over at the
That is a great idea. In
Joneses.
fact, I was one brick short when I was building my wall, but I kept going. So there's a window in my wall.
Oh,
And
that's
if
perfect.
there's like a little window in a wall, what are kids going to do but look
Oh,
through that?
yeah.
So I'm thinking that's right where the Wicker Man's going to go.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Kids got to learn.
It's funny you were talking about the Wicker Man, because in Reno, every year they have the Burning Man. It's not in Reno, but it's not in Reno. It's just outside of Reno, but everybody stops in Reno to get all their supplies before they go out there and the orgy and roll around in the mud and the filth for a week or so. And
I always wanted to go to that.
It's a really big deal. A lot of people, but it's turned into, no, that's just not my thing, but it's turned into the opposite, I think, of what it was intended for. You know, before it was making a statement, and now all the people that they were making a statement against think it's cool, so they want to go too.
Oh, yeah,
so it's turned into one of those kinds of things, like who has the coolest thing with, you know, all the things, and it's a big deal. But yeah, that got me thinking of when you said that you were gonna talk about Burning Man, I thought about the Burning Man, the Wicker Man, the Burning Man, and then
they burn a big effigy there.
Oh, it's huge. Yes. It's huge. And actually someone got caught fire and died last year, I think.
Oh, man.
For real. Yeah.
That they had a good harvest.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's you know, of course, it's canceled this year, but I thought, wow, that would be really traumatizing, because little kids go to this, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like families go, and I just, it's not my cup of tea. But then it got me thinking about one of my favorite stories, is that In the Hills, The City, by Clive Barker. It's in the Books of Blood. It's sort of a Wicker Man story, but it's one of my favorites. But that, Brent, you have any experience with the Wicker Man or Wicker people?
I gotta say no, although I did have some old clothes that I put some sticks into, and then I had this chair that I was gonna burn. So then I put it all on there and burned this guy, this wood guy, in my clothes. And it was really disappointing. The clothes didn't seem to want to burn like I thought they would. I thought it was going to be awesome. It just kind of all sunk in and down into the middle. And I don't know.
This was in your yard, was it?
Yeah. Well, back up in the fire pit. Yeah. Yeah, down at the bottom of my driveway, you know. Honestly, I probably had a lot to drink that very night, so I'm sure everything turned out fine.
I've always been jealous of that about Wisconsin. I get a lot of tree branches and just leaves and all kinds of crap that I just want to set on fire. And the first time I was all set to pour gasoline on it and light it up, I learned from Matthew, who ran out screaming, "Don't do that!" Because you can't start fires in Los Angeles. But, you know, I grew up in Texas. If you have a bunch of crap, you can set it on fire and it goes away. And you dust up the ashes and you're all done.
Refrigerators, no, tires, yeah.
No. well, a tire, of course. But, you know. Yeah, apparently you get a great big old ticket when you do that in Los Angeles. And there are helicopters who know.
I bet, yeah.
they watch, you know.
They have burn days here in Washington. I think they do in Nevada too, in certain areas. Like in Las Vegas, I don't think you're allowed to burn, but in Reno you can, especially like if you live up in the higher elevations, like in around Lake Tahoe. I think they have burn days even there, except, you know, lighting a fire next to a multi-million dollar house is sort of a scary venture. Sure, your neighbors would love you.
Well, you just got to stand there and just, like, you have, like, your fire stick in the ground next to you. And you just, like, stand there and you look up at that house and you just stare. This portion of the podcast is sponsored by You Awaken in a Dark, Musty Room. Your hands are covered in mud, still clutching a shovel. Strange symbols are carved into the walls. You don't know what language they're in, but you know what they say. You look down at the ear hanging from your neck and whisper, "Dear God, what have I done?" the new fragrance from Sange Poubelle de l'Enfer. Again, that's
welcome.
Now, Rena, do you speak French?
Very little. I used to speak it pretty good because I grew up in upstate New York, which was close to Montreal. And we used to go up there all the time. I mean, Quebecois is a little bit different, but I could pass. But then I moved to Colorado and then Nevada, and I took some Spanish. So now I sort of speak like a Franglish mix. Mm-hmm. They understand what I'm saying, but it sort of almost sounds like Portuguese and patois. I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff mixed together. But I can understand.
Do you speak the French, Brent? Are you going to translate the name of that perfume for us?
I do not speak French.
Because we did not laugh, and I suspect that we were supposed to.
I do not speak French, but I believe Sange Poubelle de l'Enfer is French for trash monkey from hell.
I really wouldn't get that because I'm not, I mean, the slang is, I didn't learn any of that.
When I was looking at some podcast prep, I just kept coming back to one thing. I just kept thinking about sports because I know you both are big sports fans. And
yay,
I got sports. Thinking about the greatest
love
sport.
The ball.
Right? I got thinking about the greatest sports star in all of history. I'm not talking about Michael Jordan, and I'm not talking about Wayne Gretzky or even Bo Jackson. I'm not even talking about Aaron Rodgers, the superstar quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. I'm talking about Gaius Apuleius Diocles. If I'm saying his name incorrectly, I apologize to all Gaius's family, descendants and stuff. So he was a Roman charioteer. And he was worth probably, according to some, over $15 billion in today's money. He was a rare chariot racer in that he retired alive. They usually died. Now, the Roman chariot racers would tie the reins to their waist. The Greeks would just hold it, but the Romans would tie it to their waist. And everybody really liked, all the fans did anyway, when they got to the end of the hippodrome and they got to make that turn around the post, because that's when people crash out. And when you got those reins strapped to your waist and your chariot being drawn by four angry horses, they're going to drag you and you're going to die. The horses died too a lot, which isn't so funny. Gaius Apuleius Diocles, he raced for the Reds, the Whites, and even the Greens. They didn't have cool team names back then. They just had colors. He won 1,462 of the 4,257 four-horse races he competed in. When he didn't win first place, he mostly would get second. He was the Reds, raced for the Whites, the Blues, and the Greens. I think that was all. I think they only had four. He began with the Whites at age of 18, and he switched to the Greens, and he raced with the Reds for 15 years before he retired at 42. It says after retirement, he eventually died. I haven't been able to verify that, but he was very wealthy.
Would you ride a chariot if you had the chance?
Yeah,
for
sure.
Glory?
Yeah, what the hell? You know?
I probably would not.
Not in a race against others that are running the chariots too, because I, knowing what I know, they died a lot.
I rode a horse once, and it rubbed me up against this fence made of barbed wire. So that was just the one time, and I didn't like it.
Well, it wasn't an accident. It was trying to scrape you off.
No, I was mad. It didn't want me up there,
which
is
really
not natural.
I lived on a farm for a little while in Modesto, and I used to, my horse bit me once.
Oh, they have big teeth, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit ornery. The chariot racing, I think I would. I'd give it a shot, as long as it wasn't like Spartacus. Do you remember how they had like the spikes coming out of the wheels? Mm-hmm. Were they those kind of chariot races? Were they legit chariot races, or were they chariot races that were rigged? You know what I mean? Rigged so that they had spikes coming out of the wheels and chewing up the other guy's horses. You know, was it gladiator style?
I think this was just straight up racing. So I think it was dangerous enough on the turn that they didn't need to do any extra spikes on the wheels or let you shoot at each other or anything. But that's a good question. I'm gonna get into that. And
yeah, I'd be curious, because they were, I mean, even back then, I'm sure they would, like car racers now, they say they don't nudge or they don't tip the other guy or tap the other guy, but they still sort of do. Or
it was technically illegal to do that, to try and crash, to run into your other chariot racers. However, it happened. They didn't have any kind of, there wasn't like a ref out there like, you get a card, none of that. So it happened enough on accident that there was no way to enforce it. But imagine that if it was very, like super egregious, the emperor, whoever was overseeing the race, just be like, fucking kill that guy. We can all have a laugh.
Oh, they could do that back then.
Yeah, they were dicks.
You know, the longest Roman emperor, or like the average reign of one of those guys, was 5 years.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were all killed.
Not the job for me. If it's that kind of mortality rate, they're going to be like, hey, Brent, you're the emperor now. I'll be like, well, I would, but I got my bad leg, these migraines. Don't have any ambition, And I'll be like, we could just assassinate you today and get out. I'll try it. That's one thing I hate, is getting assassinated. I won't stand for it.
I was listening to a podcast recently about all the different presidential elections, from George Washington going all the way through everyone. It's kind of interesting, but one common theme is that there was a lot, almost every election involved some kind of a duel with pistols and shooting. And hear about the ones that died, but those guys are shooting each other in the knee like crazy, and in the shoulder, and would shoot off a finger. It's crazy. Like all of the senators smacking each other with gloves and going out in the parking lot or whatever it was at the time to duel.
They should bring that back only with tridents.
Yeah. I'm thinking, let's get that back, because I would love to see some people shooting at each other.
Tridents. You want tridents.
I broke a rule, didn't I?
You want tridents, Kate.
Trident. What is a trident? Is that like what, the spear?
It's like the pitchfork.
Poseidon. Yeah.
Chainsaw. Chainsaw duel. I'd fucking go to that.
I use a chainsaw quite a bit. They're pretty scary. I respect it.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, though. It's fun. I feel like I've really done something when I've cut a limb, severed a limb from a body. It's great.
Tree. You meant to say tree.
Falls and just thumps. Yeah. It's great. Sure. Oh, tree. Body of a tree.
Sure. So, Rena, have you ever had, apart from being a nurse, have you ever had, a really messed up job? It was like the stuff of horrors.
Oh, a nursing job would just scare me so hard.
That beats all. Because I did, when I first started, I did oncology. I did some home health care. And then I worked in the operating room for 13 years. So that was how I finished up. And nothing can top anything, things that I've read, stories my friends have told me, stuff that I see on TV. It's not the same as when you see it right in front of you and smell it sometimes.
I could never do it. I don't know how, I don't know what makes people different so that they can do that.
I just,
I would have run screaming the first day.
I loved it. But I grew up on a farm. I mean, like I said, I lived on a farm for a long time in Modesto, and like my dad would slaughter the animals, and and I think of all the things that I saw when I was little that probably would have traumatized people. I mean, even now would traumatize people that, were things that I saw like every day. And so I don't think it made me immune to those things, but seeing them where there's no movement and things are already dead, it doesn't bother me. But to hear an animal, like even now I can't like watch Animal Planet. I hate those shows because I don't want to hear an animal screaming in pain. Or like I can work in an operating room because as a nurse, like in oncology, when my patients were feeling pain, I would give them pain medication. I would make them feel better. In the operating room, they're asleep. So now, if working in the operating room as a nurse meant, holding people down while they were screaming and having surgery with no anesthesia, I think I would probably change jobs, or I'd have to double
That's a whole
rethink that.
different job. I can see
Yeah. So I think that has a lot to do with it, where you're not listening to anybody screaming or nobody's yelling.
What kind of farm did you grow up on?
A small farm.
Dairy,
We
beef.
a little bit of everything. My
Okay.
dad, he did a little bit of everything. We had turkeys, Cornish hens, we had cows, but we didn't have milk cows, but we had cows that he would raised for slaughter. For we had pigs, like three big pigs, and my stepmom, she never let me go into the pigs pen. They were huge. She's like, no, they're dangerous, just stay away from the pigs. But I remember, like, when it was time to butcher, it's like it's a part of me wanted to see it and didn't want to see it at the same time. So yeah, and we grew some vegetables, and I mean, we used to do some crazy stuff. I would go there in the summers, and then I lived there for like a year or two, and it was a pretty good sized farm. And I remember walking like forever, it seemed like, to open the irrigation ditches, let the water come, and it would run, and we'd have like cow patty races. I mean, just ridiculous. I used to swim in the irrigation canal and thought that was like the coolest thing. Now it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. But
I've done
back then it was like, yeah, back then it was like a cool thing to do. And I showed rabbits, used to go to the rodeos. I mean, it was all good. Not something that if I bring it up now, people are like, what? You lived on a farm? I don't see that.
My dad grew up on a farm, and he talks about, like, in the summer, the only time they would put their shoes on would be if they were, like, going to town or going to church. So in the morning, when you're going out to the pasture to bring the cows in, your feet would be pretty cold a lot of times. So if a cow, I mean, this wasn't my dad telling this is somebody else. And
No.
if a cow was to poop, and you see this big warm, steaming pile of poo, the kids would race over and see who could get
No.
there first to get their toes warm, stick their feet in
Oh,
the poo. But you're
wow.
gonna cross the creek, you're
No.
gonna your feet are gonna be clean by the time you get them all full of shit again on your way to the barn.
Yeah, no, we always wore boots. I mean, even if it was like 120 degrees outside, we had long sleeve shirts, jeans, and boots because you didn't want the cow stepping on you, or like the horse that bit me. My horse that bit me, I had on jeans then. The chickens and the turkeys, they peck at you,
Those sons of
peck at
bitches.
your legs, and you. Yeah, turkeys, they really are dumb. But for me, living on the farm was cool. For my younger sister, I don't think she became a vegetarian after that, after living on
Rena,
the
where are the turkeys that were pecking you and the chickens and the ducks? Where are they?
farm.
I will take care of this.
They were beheaded. Yeah, I got to rip their guts out.
Wow. I was not expecting to get this information about Rena. This is very exciting. I feel like we have a scoop.
That was my childhood. I got to, pull their feathers and take their guts out. So I got to know anatomy at an early age, which came in handy for my future nursing career.
Before I forget, we do have a one letter in the mail sack this week. This All is right. a real this is a real one.
No.
I didn't even make it up this time.
All of those are real. They're all real.
I know, but this one's even more real. Now, this is from Anders in China. Hey, Anders says, your last three podcasts have had a dearth of ovipositors. Maybe you can have an ovipositor corner. Maybe talk about the latest robotic Japanese ovipositors or cloacas. Just a thought. Also, an Islander guy here in Sydney has a business where he takes people out to fish in the deep ocean. After, he cooks a big pig luau style. That would be a great way to get rid of a body. Nobody would question him taking out a big long body wrapped in something or his trip out to the ocean. Yeah, well, so we had been talking, Rena, about ways to get rid of bodies, strictly from a literary standpoint. As writers, we talk about this stuff for obvious reasons. What do you think? What would be a good way to...
So hard. It really is hard. But my personal, you know, from all the things that I watch, the best way to get rid of a body is to find a place. You don't dismember it where you killed the person. And if you can do it in different places, that would be better. The more that you spread it around is the better. And the more you spread the pieces around, it would be better. Yeah, like just a lot of the stuff that you see on TV. And there's some things that I noticed that they don't show in like those movies but I think it's because they don't want you to really do it. You know, use the secrets. Did you know that the police use soda to take blood off of the highway?
Like, no, I did not know
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Really? Yeah, like Coke. Yeah, it eats that stuff up. But soda is hydrogen peroxide. It breaks blood cells. So that's, you know, just a thought that always...
There's a van that drives around my neighborhood that they're crime scene cleaners, and they have pictures of them like cartoon with the goggles and the suits and the
brush
and the big phone number. So you can call them to come over and clean your crime scene.
That just made me think of John Wick, you know, where he calls and the guys come and they wrap up the dinner for 12, dinner reservation for 12, and there's like 12 dead guys in his house. I bet you that business would boom.
I think it would have to be in a big city, and there's probably more than just the one van doing that, because nobody cleans that up here if something goes awry.
You know, those guys got some fucked up stories.
I don't think I'd want to do that. That's got to be a stinky job.
Yeah. Pieces, you know, you're seeing pieces of people. It's not even like people.
Or even like folks. A big thing here in the city is people who die alone and nobody notices for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So that happens a lot here, actually, because we don't get along with our neighbors or check on them.
Yeah, I bet you whole families, just especially in the summer, after a while, a neighbor would catch another neighbor down the street, might catch a whiff and say, hey, I think there's something going on up the street there.
Right. But if it gets to the smell stage, in my opinion, that's gone on too long. You gotta catch that right away.
Unless you hang up a bunch of those car air fresheners.
With this, Rena, what's a movie that you saw when you were a kid that messed you up?
The second movie I ever saw, I snuck out of my room, and I want to say I had to be 4 or 5 because I wasn't in kindergarten yet. I had to be 4, and it was Christopher Lee's Dracula. And to this day, I have to sleep with a sheet or a cover up to my neck. Like, I can't have my arm out, have my leg out, nothing. Like, even if I'm like burning up and it could be 100 degrees in the bedroom, I have to have a sheet or something at least covering my neck. So yeah, definitely a That messed me up.
That's awesome. Good question, Brent. You deserve a drink of this, whatever you're drinking. Hey, quick question. What's everybody drinking? Rena, you seem like you might be empty.
Yeah, I have the remnants of a lychee martini. It's something that I drink whenever I'm up here. And I remember you asking at the beginning of the show, what have you been thinking all week? Well, when I first got here, I had one of these, and then I had one the other night, and then I'm having one now. But something that I have been thinking about is how lychees remind me of testes that have been dissected that are like in formaldehyde. And so that's what I've been drinking. And yeah, it just got me really thinking about that now. The whole, but lychees are actually really good if you've ever had one with not. Vodka.
What are they?
It's a nut. It's called a lychee nut. And if you look at them, they're hideous. They look like a sea urchin. Mm. But you cut around the outside, and there's like a fruit in the middle. I don't know if you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But they look like, sort of like testes. But once they're, removed from the scrotal sac and kept in formaldehyde for a long time.
Yeah.
Like if you had a mad scientist lab and you see things in jars, you would know what these were if they look like that.
What's a lychee taste like?
It's sweet. It tastes like, has a different kind of texture. It has it's almost like a calamari texture, but it's sweet.
Oh, like you have to try testes.
Yes. Probably, I don't know. I've never had like Rocky Mountain oysters, even though I lived in Colorado for a little while. It was a popular thing. But
it's kind of the texture of tripe. Kind of stretchy.
Kate, I want you to get on the internet and have some Rocky Mountain oysters shipped to Rena.
Will do. Definitely.
And I would do it myself, but I spent way too much money on upgrading Zoom and also on my porn subscriptions. So it turns out, Rena, OnlyFans, that's not like just a website where it's like just pictures of like fans. Like I was looking for like a rotary fan, like a box fan, but it's naked people. I couldn't believe it.
OnlyFans?
Anyways.
Is that on the dark web?
I think it's on the regular web. Kate hasn't told me how to get on the dark web yet. What are you drinking, Kate? More Clamato?
I am not. So I decided, because I just don't seem to be getting any work done, that I was going to make perfume, because that would waste time. So
Sans
I bought
poubelle de l'enfer.
So I bought perfumer's alcohol, which is that vodka that's the really high proof. I'm drinking that.
You're like a huge glass. It's gone. You drank that whole freaking glass, and that was all vodka?
No, I mixed it with orange juice.
Oh, I was going to say, you're going to freaking
stay away detox. From stay away from the candles or flames for about an hour.
Rena, Kate has discovered a few episodes back a new drink that she has become increasingly passionate about. It is Clamato Bloody Mary.
Nobody should ever squeeze a clam and drink it. Never. Never. It's just disgusting.
Clamato. I use Clamato in the Schiappino recipe that I make. That's really good. But that's like a seafood stew kind of a...
Oh, yeah. I could see it being okay in food, but...
they have clam juice in the store. Yeah. Have you ever seen it?
Don't drink it. Never.
It's sitting on a shelf, not refrigerated.
Right?
Which is always a little bit suspect, but...
It can be right. And it tastes like fish juice.
Just want to crack it open and take a...
I laugh because I'm part Thai and Chinese, and Thai food uses a lot of this product called fish sauce, which is pressed anchovies, Kate.
Tasty. We have a jar. It's quite good. But in food, but you just don't, I don't know. It just doesn't work for cocktails for me.
I couldn't drink it straight up. No, I couldn't drink it with alcohol for sure. That and like really any creamy kind of drink, I can't do because I'm not like a big drinker. But when I, vodka, I usually is what I have to stick with. Or like rum that's refreshing in a mojito or something.
You know, I find that just Bacardi on ice, it just tastes exactly like writing to me. And there have been many a night where I just had a couple glasses of Bacardi on ice and just clacked away and wrote some dumb story that Kate decided was okay enough to publish.
So I'm going to excuse myself for a moment while I get a glass of water. Be right back.
Oh, there she goes. She's wasted, Rena. All right, let's talk about her.
Well, I hope she doesn't walk by her gas stove and breathe too hard or cough or anything. She might be one of those fire flamethrowers, you know, with the, what are they, those people called?
Fire breather?
They eat fire, fire breather, fire eaters.
Sure, yeah. So I wanted to ask you, have you seen any sort of scientific article of some sort that caught your attention recently?
Just this morning, I get science news every day, and there's an article about there's a huge gap in the change going on in the Earth's magnetic field, and it's possible that the polars are changing, you know, magnetivity.
Yeah.
The poles, magnetivity, sorry.
And you know,
what happens when that happens?
It happens every so many years, so really nothing. I want to say that probably there's going to be some weather changes, but that could also be because we're at the beginning of a solar maximum. So the weather is going to increasingly get worse here for the next 5 years. In 2025, it's going to be like how Hurricane Katrina was. That was at a solar maximum. So it's going to be like that again. I think it's going to be like an accumulation of things, you know, like in my thing, my bio, I love stuff that has to do with mass extinction events. You know, it wasn't just one thing that killed the dinosaurs over and over again. It was like a number of things, a number of factors. And this could be one of them along with, you know, this or that, or, you know.
What I just heard out of that was you're predicting the next 5 years, I'll be wearing my mankini from April till September, and that's music to my ears. Yeah. But I don't live on the equator or someplace like LA or anything like that, so I try to temper my joy. So we actually got snow in May this year. Don't always get snow in May, but we did. And now it's,
we did in Reno too. We did in Reno. It was pretty cool.
We did not in LA. We got no snow this year.
But you guys are in a huge drought.
No, it ended last year. We got a lot of rain, and then a lot of plants grew in the spring, and then everything burned. So it's either drought and no water, or things grow, and then we have fire.
But circle of life.
Yeah, we're not supposed to live here. There's just, it's a desert, and they diverted a river. You've seen Chinatown, so that was pretty much true. But yeah, so people are not supposed to live in this city or in this part of the planet. It's all fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like Las Vegas. It's the same.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we were also started by gangsters.
Just gonna say that.
Yeah, beat you to it.
You know where we didn't have gangsters? Northern Wisconsin, except for like Dillinger and Capone and all those, like the,
well, those are still gangsters.
Yeah, and all the other Chicago gangsters, they were bootlegging coming up out of here. Like there's like all these buildings, like resort bar kind of things around that have like the basement that leads to like the secret tunnel that leads out to the escape hatch out in the woods and
oh.
Yeah.
If you needed to, do you think you could cook up a batch of alcohol?
I could make some wine right now if I had some fruit. But as far as like some bathtub gin or some bathtub Bacardi, I don't think I could.
I think I've got a book somewhere that tells how to do it. But
oh, wow.
Might be a lot of work. Easier just to go to the store.
Yeah. Costco. You can buy gallons of it. I'm just wondering how many potatoes it makes to make potato vodka.
Oh, I have no idea. And how is it so clear? I have a feeling if I made it, it would look a lot like my crappy wall out back with the window.
It'd be cloudy and have eyes. I know that's if I tried to make it.
Blobs and
weird bits of skin floating. It is that potato skin or is that human skin? It looks like it's got a couple of hairs growing from it. Just don't look too close.
It would taste like formaldehyde, so you probably could keep bodies preserved or just, you know, part like testes and vodka.
I think if I was gonna pick a piece of human anatomy to just keep in a jar preserved next to where I write, I would go for a hand, maybe a hand clutching some eyes. I don't know, but probably not testes.
So how are we on time, Brent?
Oh, well, you know, why? Got some place to be?
I do.
Oh, Kate's got another fancy party to go to. Well, let's see here. Did we get through all the stuff that I wanted to get through? Let me just check
let's make my list.
Okay. Yes, that was all. But I feel like when I read Anders' letter, the first part, you guys, especially you, Kate, just kind of glossed right over it.
I did, because we're not supposed to talk about that anymore. I made that deal. Do you not want me to be on your podcast anymore?
What podcast? The other thing is I did not get around to doing the disclaimer for the beginning of the episode. So let me just get through that real quick. If you were at work, a child at work, a homicidal dentist, a member of the Dutch Illuminati, a member of an authoritarian racist hate group, Kate's daughter, or my own dear sweet mother, it is not recommended that you listen to this possibly inappropriate podcast. I could copy that in my editing software and move that to the beginning of the episode, but
you probably should.
Fuck it, I'm not gonna. Not this time. Nope.
Going at the end.
Playing by my own rules.
Listened to it all the way. And we barely swore at all. So, you know, I don't think we did. We've been in very good behavior this week.
I didn't swear. Before we go, I just want to remind our one listener to support independent authors and publishers, buy their books, leave reviews, and what the fuck, no swearsies, even read them if you want. Especially books written by our dear friend, Rena Mason.
Hmm.
Thank you for joining us, Rena.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files. I think we all learned a lot on tonight's voyage into the imagination. I've been Brent.
I'm Kate.
And Rena.
And now it's time to say...
goodnight.
I'll see you in hell. Oh, I thought we were doing... Oh. You're back to good night. I thought we were doing. I'll see you. All right. Well, that's the end. That's the podcast is over now. I don't know. I could probably stop recording anytime I felt like it, but whatever.
Well, that was fun. Thank you so much.
It was. Yes. Thank you, Rena.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good night.
Night.
You were beheaded. I got to rip their guts out.